piss. Keep it simple, stupid.
Testicles 1, 2, testicles. Welcome back, Big Tank. Wait, oh shit. I know for a fact it's Big Tank. Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. I am Travis Garcia, the humble host of this amazing episode, amazing podcast. And I want to thank the Lord for allowing me to be here today. And I want to thank every single one of you for allowing me to enter your space. This episode is brought to you by Los Cuñados Bullies. Get your rhino gorillas today. I don't know what the fuck that means, but it gets the people going. All right. Gentlemen, the 1s and 2s is the best goals on the motherfucking planet. Big Tank, salute, salute. What's popping, Big T?
Salute, salute, big dog.
Titty man himself, Big T. Tyrannosaurus T-Rex. Tyrannosaurus Tranny.
I came in, and he's like, there's a disturbance in my penis. Big Tank is here.
You know what, dog? I love the fact that you're here today and that you're sharing this fucking beautiful day with me. We have an amazing episode lined up for all of you motherfuckers. Ladies and gentlemen, before anything, and I want you to please go to paranoidradio.com right now and check us out. You can not only stream for free, but you can also check out the most recent fucking episodes, absolutely unbothered, untitled, unfucking edited, unbothered, and unedited. You know what that means. You know what I mean. All right, Big Tank. I'm just happy to see you, dog. And now, it's a bird. It's a plane. Nope, it's Paranoid Radio. Big Tank, what is happening?
What is happening, baby boy? You guys know the deal. The best segment of this fucking show is back after being blackmailed by the black man himself. I am here 110%. This one went from black to orange to black, jumping on some white cock, and now we back, right? So, hey, without any further ado.
That was hot. That was, if we ever got into a rap battle, fool, that was the punchline of the year, bro. We're only 4 months in this bitch. You have so much more to show.
Oh my god. Okay. So you guys know the deal. This is what is happening, where I give you guys two stories and I want you guys' official input, because I want you guys' two cents. I want you guys to tell me, am I bullshitting? Did you guys find something else? Did you guys not? What the fuck is happening? So I'm gonna take your 2 cents plus my 2 cents and deposit that bitch into the bank of knowledge, just like
the
that.
The bank of knowledge.
Yes sir. Okay.
Hey, yo, I missed you, bro. Sorry, I just want to tell you that. I missed you, dude. I haven't seen you, bro.
Millennials these days. He can't even be a man about it. You guys seen the meme? Be a man. This guy breaks all of them. He breaks bro code. He breaks man code. Whatever you guys want to call it.
You know what? Fuck you. I hope you die. How about that, bitch? Hurry up. Finish off the stupid segment.
Oh, first smash he's ever said. All right.
You love getting hate fucked. That's what you like. You like getting hate fucked. When you hate the woman you're fucking, you smack her around and she likes it.
You're that fucking porn radio that came out with Diddy and Meek. It wasn't even Meek. It was you, fool.
Oh, dog, bro.
Oh, who said that?
Yo, low key, Meek sounded like he enjoyed it, bro. I couldn't even tell if he was. I can't tell if he's enjoying it or he's in pain or both. Like, it's dog. Can we talk about this? Bring this to the table, dog. Please.
Okay, let's talk about it then.
You already tainted my soul.
A man wants to know how another man got fucked by another guy.
This
is what's happening on this show, alright? That's why this is the best segment. That's why we're bringing it in. He wants to know if it was hate fuck, pleasure fuck, or what.
Have you ever had the fucking chance or the opportunity to fucking like go back to your ex one time because you know you're gonna hit it so fucking good, she's gonna remember you forever, and you hate the bitch but you still fuck the bitch, so you hate fuck the bitch? That like, that's what it sounded like in
his ass. Fucking pull the weave off and everything, fucking yes. Walk out with a little trophy, little tongue,
and you slap her, ass so much she has 2 handprints on her booty cheek, bro. Like, you know
and
what I'm talking about,
identical,
dog.
Identical, big dog. Just fucking boom.
You can see your fucking fingerprints on that shit, that.
DNA, that bitch, right? Hey, call the cops because they got fingerprints for sure, baby.
You know, it sounds kind of like it's just also a money grab from the fucking security guard, but that fool sounds like he's getting clapped, dog, and he's enjoying it, bro. And when you hear Diddy, yeah, you're gonna, oh, like, being a little explicit, and like, Meek is like, oh, yeah, and like, what? Did you say yeah? Like, what the fuck? Like, I couldn't know if he was moaning or groaning, bro.
The video that got me just thinking it's true is fucking Diddy coming out. Oh, yeah, daddy, you put in that real good work. Yeah, daddy, he's like by the pool. And I mean, he's like, yeah, like all drugged up, half dazed out. Yeah, thank you, daddy, thank you. And he's like, oh, good. I'm like, fuck, this shit's real. That's what sold me. Forget the whole fucking sex scene. That's what sold me. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, remember. Bad Boy has always been an icon. You get
there's some bad boys, all right. I kind of regret using their symbols for the party days. Oh my god, Bad Boy
family. But that's how iconic it was. That's how much of a staple it was back then. Yeah. Sean John, anything associated with Diddy was money all the way.
Look, who look didn't wear Sean John, bro? Sean John was the shit. Sean John, exactly South Pole, Echo. Woo.
Yeah, exactly my point. So you really just have to think about it, like, bro, like. Has he really been doing all this? And I'm not gonna say it's gay. I think it's more bisexual. I think whatever floats his boat, whatever fucking gets him really hard, he's
bro,
in.
Gay, bro. You get me? Gay, bro.
No. There's different accounts of
people. No, there's not. Well, there's only gay or straight.
No.
Oh my god, here comes. Hey guys, 60 genders.
How are you gonna ask that when you're fucking giant question mark in the head?
That doesn't mean anything about genders, though. It means I'm a mystery.
Nobody said anything about genders. We said straight or gay.
Yeah, that's all there exists. You trying to put like, oh, there's bisexual. No, if you fuck a man, yes, regardless if you're getting him or hitting, you're still gay. Bro, gay is gay.
Bro, free love is free love. You get me? Fuck. So what? So what are you gonna say to a fucking lower belief of people that fucking livestock?
Bro, you sound you sound like Alexander the Great, bro. He fucked his own cousin just to be fucking shown some love. Like, he showed all different types of love. Fellatio love, filigatio love, gay love, all fucking stupid names love.
Okay, let's talk about it then. So that means that when you tell your non-brothers, but they are brothers, but they're not brothers, love, does that mean you're gay?
No, saying and fucking them is different, bro.
No. We talking about, all right? So
I tell you I love you all the time. Does but I'm not fucking gay? You.
No, does that mean you're gay?
No.
Then?
Okay.
How are you going to say there's only one type of fucking, but no type of loving?
Nigga, Diddy wasn't telling him, I love you. He was fucking him.
Okay. Like, come on, bro. Putting that aside, and I fucking agree with you. I agree with you on that.
Gay?
Okay. So, what are you going to tell me? What, just because you're Trump, all of a sudden it doesn't count now?
Because Donald Trump is the closest thing to Jesus Christ?
Nigga, what? Fuck Donald Trump. Homie, like, why you said fuck Donald Trump? All right, straight up.
Why just going
like
back on his word? He's gonna make, I love Donald Trump. Now he's gonna be blowing that fucking white boy stick. I'm playing, I'm telling you.
He hasn't done it. All right, so first of all,
he's very quiet. All right, moving on to that.
On to the original story of the show.
Yeah. Okay. You're a bitch, you know that?
Oh my God.
Okay, what you got?
America has hit a new crisis. Did you know that if you make $25 an hour, technically you could only afford a $900 monthly rent payment?
Yeah.
Making $900 an hour. Okay, let's use that because those are statistics based out of California.
Yeah.
What the fuck can you rent for $900 an hour?
Nothing. For $900?
No. You can rent
a room.
Rent a room. And even then, you might have some money left over. Okay, a studio we're running about $1,200 to $1,500, depending how nice it is, the area, so forth, etc. Okay,
not including the utilities.
Exactly, and everything starts going up. Mm-hmm. They did an average for you to rent a house with an average of $2,500. You roughly need to be making about $35 to $40 an hour to cover your basic necessities, and that is not including a car payment. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is with all this inflation, everything going up, prices gouging, whatever the fuck you want to call it, post-pandemic. You got me?
Post-pandemic bullshit, yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to say that pre-pandemic was any greater because, I mean, shit, we're talking about the recession that hit hard and the whole tax inflation. We haven't had
not as hard as they hit that shit. Sorry.
You would know.
No, dude, I'm a fuck allergies. Whatever, dude. All right, bro.
Why you screaming like him now? Okay, but putting all that aside, how does your new fast food workers, with Burley being bumped up to 20 because they're considered a necessity, essential, that's why they should be paying that much, how does $20 benefit them in any way?
It doesn't. It only benefits the big banks.
Okay. Forget the whole bank point. Forget the whole everything behind it. Okay. Because what's the normal thing that people do? They have a mouth. They're going to complain about everything. Look at you. This whole podcast is built on you complaining. Like, legitimately, that's the essence of this. You get me? Paranoid is built on people complaining, getting their voice out, and wanting to.
Yo, you're not wrong, bro. You're not wrong.
No. And I don't mean it in a bad way. I really don't mean it in a bad way. Okay. There's a time and place to complain. And then there's just people that are complaining because they have a mouth. And unfortunately, you're like right down the middle. I never take that. But putting all that aside, okay. Look at what this has cost. Everything has gone up. There's not one thing that hasn't gone up, whether it's a big company that was affected, like, for example, let's say McDonald's, Chipotle, Pizza Hut, whatever it might be. All of those have been affected that now have to raise up their minimum to $20 an hour. Okay, now go backwards. Every other company now has to try to match it because guess what? Employees are now retaliating. Hey, we're not working at what's the stupid word that they use? At a competitive rate. So we're not getting paid competitive rate. So for example, let's use Tom's on the street from you.
Yep.
There is very few people that they're going to be paying $20. But guess what? Enough of those people complain. Hey, you know what? It didn't affect us. So we're going to do it. Oh, well, guess what? I'm going to go to McDonald's. I'm going to go to Jack in the Box. I'm going to go to Burger King. I'm going to go to Taco Bell. I'm going to go to Chipotle because they're going to pay $20. So what does that mean? That means that if even you weren't associated with it or met the bracket, they still have to do it. So everything gets raised up. Guess how much I paid for a hamburger? And I'm not talking about McDonald's or anything like that.
$15.60.
Close. I added cheese and bacon. Well, it was a bacon cheeseburger, and it came out to $17.80.
Get the fuck out, dog.
I shit you not.
I remember I used to pay $11 for those, and $11 was too much back then in the day, like 3 years ago.
Yes. 110%. $17.60 at a regular mom and pop. Did it have a better taste? I think so. You get me? Yeah, will I still continue to buy? Yeah, of course I will. I'll still go to McDonald's, Jack the Mouse.
I guess it's not their fault that's happening this.
No, exactly. I still got to eat at one point or another, especially working in an environment where I don't personally take food. And guess what's convenient to us? Fast food. You get me? There's no supply and demand for it. Regardless, doesn't matter what kind of fucking price it is, you still have to eat at one point or another. Realistically, count the number of times, how many times you actually have to go and eat. Like how many times you actually stop and somewhere and buy yourself something. Doesn't matter if it's food. Throughout the day.
Once a day.
Exactly. Once a day. I'm going to say three because I'm going to include 7-Eleven chips and all that bullshit. You get
me?
In the
morning.
Maybe something after or something like that.
Word.
So I'm going to say three. Doesn't mean that necessarily 7-Eleven's affected. You get me? But it's all heading that way. So we had a company meeting. And the guy goes, if you guys are going to talk about, I shit you not, fucking funny as shit. If you guys are going to talk about pay increase, because they're flipping burgers for 20 bones an hour, he goes, salute, catch you guys next time.
Holy shit.
Yes. Well, he didn't exactly say those words. Because, okay, I don't want you guys to think
basically that. Basically said, don't let the door kick you in the ass when you're out, basically.
So, not to say I'm making under $20 an hour, but the way my pay scale works, you switch it from one pocket to another. No. But I'll push it aside. I just have a different discount. Pay rate scale. So, no. So I have a certain pay rate, but I get paid a commission pay rate. So it evens up to more. But people, as we said, because we have a mouth, guess what? This is in this. See, I mean,
for example, no, not just because you're a mouth, because you're a millennial. You're a fucking complaining ass bitch. Sorry.
Of course. But the people back in NAM never complained. They just thought, we did this for you guys. Always showboating. Yeah. But besides all that, can you imagine when our kids become of age, 18, 20 year olds, how many people they're going to be fighting? Because that was the most quintessential job for a teenager starting a fast food job, something predominant like that.
Guess what
now you have older people trying to make it there because they have no basic knowledge, they have no experience, and they're making that their career, even though they call it a job. If you guys don't know, job stands for just over broke, and that's what a lot of people have nowadays. You get me? I'm borderline. Can I go both ways? Yeah. Doesn't necessarily mean that I agree with it 24/7, yeah. But I do not believe fully that I have a career right now. Doesn't mean I don't like my work, but that's exactly what it is. So imagine all this going on and pushing it forward. If right now you need to make $25 an hour to earn $900, so that 20 still didn't reach you there. And if you do the math, that means that you can only afford about $750 to actually get something accommodated. And that's the price of a room. Does that mean that by future time, we're no longer going to be scribing to own a house? We're going to be scribing to rent a room?
We're already scribing to rent a room. Now, you want me to give you the opinion of a conspiracy theorist? There's a little chain reaction thing that happens right after we fucking find out that $20 an hour doesn't even cover for you to pay $900 rent in a room if you're single. But if you're single, have no kids, at the end of the year, you also pay fucking more insurance and more fucking taxes because you don't have no dependents. Which means what they want you to do here, now conspiracy theory trebles comes out. What they want you to do is be in the idea that you're getting paid more while they're charging you more for milk, for medicine, for sugar, for soda, for chips at the store. I remember back then it was 99 cents. Now it's $2.79 for the same size chips with less chips and more air in the fucking bag. And just because the logo gets bigger, the fucking baggage gets smaller. And then you live in a fucking apartment and then you're forced to go through Medicare because you only work 6 hours a week. I mean, 6 hours a day. You don't qualify to have benefits. So who wins? The big banks, big corporations, and the lobbyists in California. I'm just saying, bro. It is what it is, dog. That's the shit. And you're saying you barely afford a fucking $900 room now.
Look. Take away the whole fact of California.
Yo. And then the people that are living in those rooms for $900 a year, where do they shop? At the 99 cent store. And where are the 99 cent store? They're going to shit. They're all closing down. So big pitch here. Yo, Trump, buy the 99 cent stores, bro. Make 99 cent stores great again. Okay? I don't usually buy... Ladies and gentlemen, I don't really buy 99 cent store, but when I do, I'm telling you, it's going to be great. It's going to be huge.
Insert orange filter now. Thank you, folks.
Yo, am I right or am I wrong, bro? And they're even taking that away, bro. Come on, dog.
Whoa. 99 cent store hasn't been 99 cents for a really long time.
Ever since Walmart bought it.
No, even before then, you get me, Wally World did have an impact on it. Yeah. But realistically, 99 cent store was roughly 10 years ago. And even then, I think that's when we started seeing the hike. But that's what I want everybody to think about. I'm only going to do one story this time. Let me know what you guys think.
Well, you
do
did you two stories think... with me. Huh? And did it. I just can't get over that shit. Facts. And if you have any kids, you guys should be at least paying attention to what's happening with the times. An economic structure here, because I can only speak for California, bro. You ask me a question. What are your kids gonna do when they grow up? When they're our age, guess what's gonna happen, bro? Digital currency. They're gonna get paid for behaving good. Then they're gonna get paid. It's not like us, where you go out to work. They won't know what that is. They won't know what hard-earned money is. It's all handouts, bro.
I don't believe in that. I think you're always going to have people that are put in bad situations no matter what. So I can't say that. Yes, majority might be. But for example, we're two kids out of the ghetto, out of Almani, a suburban area. Look how ghetto that place is. Mm-hmm. You got me? Mm-hmm. Nobody would think about it. Everybody thinks ghetto violence and think of LA. Mm-hmm. They think of that concrete jungle. People waking up having to carry strap. No, shit. You go to Almani, it's fucking ghetto as fuck. You get me?
Crystal Methlandia.
All it does is it has more trees. That's all it is. That's all it fucking is.
Yeah.
You get me? So I don't believe in that. I really don't. I think you will have people that will become a slave to a certain mindset like that, but I don't think that'll happen. So this is what is happening. These were your two stories. Yeah, he's right. I did do two stories, all right? You know what I mean? The clap, Diddy Meek, and then the influence, the structure that we're going to be living in the future.
Yeah.
As always, this is your boy Big Tank. Let me know if you guys liked it or didn't like it, because I really don't care, but I want to hear that opinion. Until next time.
Oh, that is right, Big Tank. Thank you for those two amazing stories. Hey, Loki, bro, Meek Mill got his ass cheeks clapped. I just want to make that so people know that shit.
With the Diddy special, baby.
You know what? You know what's funny? What we're about to talk about also has some type of specials. Anal special. Please allow me to jump in for the deep end of the pool and set the fucking mood back with popular demand. This was one of the biggest and underrated hit episodes
in season one from Paranoid Radio Podcast.
I like that double entendre. Biggest but most underrated episode. How does that work? Out of curiosity.
It's the biggest episode by far with the biggest context that everybody loved. Anybody that listened to it loved. But it's so underrated because with the amount of people that are listening to our show today, they haven't had the chance to listen to this episode. So we're not only remastering it with you, but we're also updating you with new things that came out on this fucking serial killer.
Oh, fucking greed.
Netflix fluffed up the shit out of this suicide mission in Cryptic Death. Please allow me to jump in from the deep end of the fucking pool and set the mood. Check this out. This episode is brought to you by Los Cuidados Bullies. Get your rhinos and gorillas today. I don't know what that means, but it gets the people going. She was a student, a patient of mental illness. She was bipolar, stressed. She had psychosis. She had depression and anxiety. Or, like many would say, demon-possessed. She was not only a blogger, but her name is Elissa Lam. Now, guys, look. Netflix has a special on this. So does YouTube. So do many other podcasts. But I'm going to tell you something that you probably haven't even figured out yourself. Everybody's doing this story because it's fluffed up and it's made so that you could be entertained. But now, I'm not only here to bring you what's the fluff on top. I'm going to put the cherry on top and the cherry is already poisoned. Ladies and gentlemen, if I'm selling to you apples that say poison apples, I go to jail for poisoning you. But if I'm selling you apples that only say apples, right? Or the other way around, what I'm trying to say is she was a blogger. Okay, let me get my story straight here. In her recent posts, before she died, Elissa Lam was found in contact with a South Korean general, not only a family member, but he was also in charge of a cloaking technology and materials used not only on tanks and weapons and equipment, but also on the very fabric of the uniforms our servicemen wear. Now, who is Elissa Lam? She's a little Chinese girl, Asian girl from Canada that came to stay in the one and only Cecil Hotel. Entertain. No. Now, why are we emphasizing on Elissa Lam again? It's because her story is tragic. It's based on serial killer. There's a lot of cryptic. There's a lot of paranormal activity. There's drugs involved. And then we have a hand first account of somebody that doesn't only work there, but has serviced that place and has spoken with direct people directly in contact with her. Tank, show me that D of Paranoid Radio.
Fucking wild. If I didn't believe you're full of shit, I fucking fuck, right?
Yeah, so, baby, let's go.
So, the reason this came about is because currently where I work, I get the opportunity to travel to a bunch of different places to provide services for them. And in one of these adventures...
You provide services, all right.
Sound jealous. You want that dinner special? Let me know. Holla at me.
No. Let's get to the Cecil Hotel. Let's give some brief history of what the Cecil Hotel is. And what contact have you had, Big T?
Okay.
Yeah.
So the Cecil Hotel was this infamously known hotel for having some of the most craziest serial killers, most notable known names, satanic rituals, everything known to man has happened right there. It's almost like that place has birthed or been a gateway for evil since the very fucking beginning. There's been anything prestigious about it. It was never this fancy hotel that just got taken over. It was never been like that. Currently, as we speak, today, it's now a refugee/Section 8 hotel, believe it or not. That's exactly how it is. So
remodeled, renamed, redesigned, rebranded, and restamped, right? Like it's everything.
I think right now it's called the Main Street Hotel or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. But you still see the big bold letters that say Cecil Hotel marked even to this day.
Mm-hmm.
So, believe it or not, I went in there and did the service for them. And you know, as you're first going through, they have pictures of just random people that are not allowed to come in, either for bad day, either because they've done serious stuff. There's no allowed. There's no forms of weapons allowed in that building.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even rent a room. This is how crazy it is. It's no longer a hotel.
You can't even rent a room.
Okay. Yes, you can't even rent a room. You have to be approved by the government. It's basically like Section 8 housing. You pay very minimum fare for it. But if I could walk you in there, it's grimy, it's ugly, it's dirty, it's fucking insane to be the very
least. So it's still to this day, and it's always been like this, right?
Yes. Well, no. But before, you could go in there and I'm going to just throw a number out there and rent a room for like 40, 50 bucks a night. You can't do that as of right now. So you have all the people that apply and you walk in there. And I'm telling you, it's like 15, 14 story floor. It's a really big, big hotel with with massive occupancy. I want to say each floor has roughly about 30 units, give or take. Really small.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I walk in there, first impression, you just feel the shifty, shady place. Like, that's literally
the energy. The energy shifts.
And this is the main entrance. This is the main entrance. Like, believe it or not, I didn't even get into the rooms just yet. The people coming in and out, yes, what do you expect? It's downtown. I get all that. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. I've been in shifty areas down Skid Row, middle of the night. That's not a big deal. It's normal. It's low. It's normalized for me. It doesn't affect me in any type of way. But as I went in there, you do feel just that bad juju vibe coming off of it. It doesn't stop whatsoever. So as we're doing all this, I'm literally noticing that they have on-site security 24/7. On security, okay? On security 24/7. You see all those faces, do not allow this person back in, and even gives you a brief description of what they did. And they're just like plastered all over the wall. And this is only the first 2 minutes of me being there.
Okay,
I
get
there and I speak to Jose, which is one of the facilities workers. He's been there for 26 or 27 years, if I'm not mistaken.
Might be
a little bit more. So and when first thing
right around the time that this incident happened with Alyssa was here.
No, this was it. He was already there. He was already there.
So
there's a total of four lifers, and the reason I call them lifers is because they all have these great substantial numbers of them being there. You have a guy that's been there for 40 years, another guy that's been there for 30, him and this other guy that's newer to them, which is about 20 years, give or take. They've seen numerous amount of things. So as I get there, we start treating, and I tell them, you know, I have to break the ice a little. And I go, hey, bro, be honest with me. Were you here for that?
Hold on. That's good detail. Let me emphasize more a little bit on the Cecil Hotel before you go into the granny, because we're going to start opening can of worms right now. The Cecil Hotel, ladies and gentlemen, has been the host to some of the most notable events in LA, some of the most prestigious international travelers like Black Dahlia, Aleister Crowley, and many, many other celebrity serial killers. During the stays of these individuals, we had developed stories of sightings of ghost huntings, deaths, demonic portals being open, paranormal activity. In fact, the Cecil Hotel is one of the most haunted places in the United States of America. Hashtag Buscalo. Hashtag
look it up. I wouldn't say haunted. I was there. I wouldn't, but I wasn't there in peak paranormal hours.
Obviously. Plus, you weren't there by yourself playing the fucking elevator game, were you? Wait. Before we jump into that. Now, check this out. I know you want to jump into the main out of the horse's mouth. And I want you to say that towards the middle of the show, because it's the main climax of it. Let me build the story around that climax of what the maintenance man told you, so that you could fucking, you know, emphasize, bro. The night of Alyssa Lamb's death, the tenants of that time in the floor were complaining, the tenants, the people living there, or purchasing a room there for a night, were complaining that Alyssa was talking very loud, arguing with voices and to herself. After so many complaints, the door slamming and erratic behavior, the hotel staff decided to move her up to the top floor and handed her a key to a suite. Now, check this out. The second floor where she was at was a bunk of women hotel rooms that women share rooms in. So basically, it's a big holding, kind of like a holding cell, and women share the restroom in that fucking room. It's not like every room has its own restroom. It's many rooms in that floor share one restroom. And this is the people that were complaining. So they ended up moving her. Instead of kicking her out, they moved her to room 506, which then gave her the opportunity to get herself a little key fob that has her own restroom and her own place and her own fucking, you know, her own room, almost to a sweet degree. Room 506, look it up. Now, Tank, before we get into the maintenance, can we just break down again the erratic behavior in the elevator?
Well, That's all part of the story, though. Come on, big dog. Look. This is part two. Okay, you need to stop boring the. You need to stop boring the people. I know you're all excited and everything, but you need to stop boring the people. They already know about the Cecile tale. This is part two, baby. You're getting up and beyond yourself, all right, big dog? Trebles don't know shit. Shut the fuck up, Trebles. I was there. I got first-hand account. You need to shut the fuck up right now, first of all, all right?
Okay,
this is my show right now. You asked me to bring this up, all right?
Okay.
You don't do that to Flash. You don't do that to nobody else, so shut the fuck up, all right? Put some respect on him, all right?
All right, Diddy.
That's right. Call me Diddy.
Hurry up, dog.
All of a sudden, I go ranting, and now hurry up. But when you're over there, this is. Look. So, leading to that day set up throughout, the maintenance guy does confirm that she was not all there, but it's not erratic to them, okay? Working in a place like that, you have to get used to that type of thing, okay? You go to downtown. I'll give you a perfect example. You go to downtown, you check stuff out. Do you not see crazy people 24/7? People out of their mind, people not in tune with themselves. You phase that thing out. You know you're in downtown. You know how that shit's going to be. So this isn't anything unnatural about it. You get all these crazy people, especially the way things are set up. He goes, I'm gonna be honest, she was just another face that I happened to see quite curiously going in and out. There were many reports and complaints about her, 110%. He's like, hey, but that's what happens on every floor. You're always gonna have somebody complaining about somebody else. While I was there on the fucking walkie-talkie that they carry, he must have gotten about 6 complaints. Hey, when you're going down with the technician, can you check on this and this, because so and so's complaining. Just in those 2 hours, he must have gotten like 10 complaints going on.
Get the fuck out.
So this is something normal that just happens day in, day out.
Okay.
And we started just chopping it up. He goes, look, when she came in, I remember her seeing her once or twice. I didn't really deal with it. Everything's divided by sections. Not a big deal. She moved out of my section and you move up. Different maintenance guys. So forth. He goes, my other coworker, same thing. Erratic behavior, schizophrenia, type of deal, delusional, all this type of stuff. Am I here?
Yeah, you're still here.
Oh, what the fuck? I don't know what the fuck happened. So as all this is going on, he's like, his buddy's telling him, hey, bro, did you have any issues? Yeah, that's the reason they raised her up when they went up to another floor, because they were just complaining about it. So he actually told me this insider knowledge that the lady 2 doors down kept on saying that she would give her this crazy vibe. Nobody thought anything of it. Why? Because it's all crazy all downtown. But there was this lady that stated and outlined herself saying that she would get this crazy vibe. Enter the elevator.
Here we go, baby.
If you guys don't know, there's this not mythological. There's this belief that she was playing the devil elevator.
The mythical game, where
you would press certain buttons, so forth, and it would transport you to a different dimension. Even the way she was acting, there's a video out there, legitimately.
And even the video has time cuts, spans that are cut, and there's a minute and 30 seconds where she disappears and goes back into the fucking elevator. You could see her talking to a different ghost or something, somebody there, somebody in a cloaking device or something. She was talking to somebody, goes in, goes out. And those were the steps to play this mythical game that helps you travel to different dimensions, or you're transported after you press a different number sequence. And then you start creating your manifesting abilities or whatever. You start creating different things. And you enter kind of like what it's called the back rooms of the elevator game.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So that's the idea behind it. Whether we can prove it or not, it's a different story. But that's the basic idea of it. Mm-hmm. He says that he got there and he sees her go in and out about 3 times. And he asks her, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
He said he asked her, are you okay? He said it wasn't, and I quote, it wasn't until the 4th time that the elevator opened, but it took a while. So she wasn't there anymore. Could it have happened 110% because she had gone to another floor? Maybe 110%. But he did say, okay, cool, my job is done. Like everybody else, not a lot not a lot of people really go above and beyond, especially when you're used to seeing something like that.
Exactly. Cool. You okay, work in an environment where you have to have calluses in character to fucking be able to deal with people like this.
You're not going to be following nobody. You're not going to be over there. You're just over there. Hey, they call you. You're going to go inspect. You're not going to put yourself to fight with anybody. You're not going to put yourself out of risk. You don't get paid enough. Let's be honest about that.
Word.
110%. You don't get paid enough. So he says after that, he's like, she was never heard from again. There is no recordings of her entering the top floor.
The tenth floor, yep.
Yeah, there's nothing there whatsoever to extenuate what happened to her. He states that the police showed up after the mother had called.
Okay. Enter almost the water tank. Now, this is a lot of specs we're going to talk about here. Let me talk about a little bit about the elevator situation because, mind you, the only way to get to the 10th floor was using... And you get into that sweet state was using the fobble. In fact, the number codes won't even allow you to access those numbers nor the fire escape corridors without the fucking fobble. It only helps you to descend. So now, your dude confirms, your connect confirms that she was coming in and out of the elevator, in and out, but the doors were closed, open, close, and open. Now, why? Now, let's think about how the elevator... I'm trying to debunk the situation of her playing the elevator game because it's also something real. Let's hypothetically say she was playing the elevator game. Every time the elevator closes the doors and you press any number sequence, the elevator will close the doors and then move up or down to the nearest number you pressed after. So, for example, you're on level 9 and you press 10, 8, 7, and then 3, 2, 1, and then 12. It'll automatically go to the nearest floor upwards, right? But her elevator never moved. It was only stuck. At 10, it would close, open, close, open, close. And then she would walk out, walk in without the elevator moving at all. Now, either the key wasn't clicked in so she could move up to the nearest floor or the fucking button 10 was on before any other ones. So if you press the number 10 and you're on the 10th floor, your elevator won't fucking close. It won't even, it will stay open. Right?
No. Some of that, just depending how the elevators are. So I do know this for a fact. It is a unmodeled but remodeled elevator, which means that it has no digital access code where you can press different buttons and it'll take you to certain floors or like let's say you need, for example, the fob, the fob was literally just for that floor.
Was there any abstraction of the door? You know how some of them open when you put your feet and it clicks, or the hydraulics open the door up when you hit their leg or anything
like that? Have to hold it really hard in order for it to do that. You just can't put your finger in it. It's not like in before? No way. Yeah. It's not in no way like a new elevator. It's nothing like
still
that.
Still
to this day. To this fucking day, 6 months ago when I went there, it's nothing like that. It's still a really old mechanism. Like I said, the fob only went to the first one, but the rest of it's all old school. I can vouch for that 110%. So, and I started just like chopping it up with him, and I'm like, hey, okay. He goes, and I'm like, and that's the last thing you've seen of her? He goes, no. He's like, that's not officially the last thing that I've seen of her. He's like, I got one more report of that lady, not officially by name, but it was by a previous tenant of her roaming another hall. He never gave me the specific number, but that she was roaming another hall. So if you think about it, just to put it in plain perspective, it's an outdated elevator that you cannot push all these buttons to act as different things. Okay, what the fuck was she doing?
The erratic behavior.
I've heard of little kids having fun. There's no problem. Like, sure, I think we've all done it where we all hit them all. We got enough time. Like, little kid doing it. Yeah. Sure, cool. No problem with it. But the way she was doing it and the sequence of numbers does throw it off of her basically being like that. So fast forward 2 days later.
Okay. Her death, right?
Yes.
Okay. Before we do that, I just want to get this out of the way. The debunking theory behind her erratic behavior is something also that's fucking triggers me to think different shit. The theory behind the erratic behavior was she was coming down off her meds. Now remember, right before we lead to the death, the result of her death, right? Unusual eating patterns and stress from her academia. Asian parents are known to be very extreme and strict and sensitive and illicit and explicit with their children, like Latino parents. They don't believe that you have stress or anxiety or depression. And if you do, it shouldn't hold you back from being successful. Latino parents don't believe in stress. All you're stressed, all you have anxiety, put the trabajo.
Well, okay. So I get that, But even then, how much of that is really true? Not everybody's built like that.
Well, she was known to be under different medications. In fact, 7 different pills.
Well, exactly my point, though. Even if she was or wasn't under stress, she still had the mother that reached out 2 days after. Getting no contact from her. Because that's the whole thing. She had to be in constant communication. The reason she came out and did all this, basically, she had like these strict guidelines. She had to check in with her mom and all this type of things and her family members. So it was after 2 days that everything was happening. So yes and no, I see that whole thing. Oh, you got to work more. You got to do this. I understand all that. But they knew that she basically couldn't handle herself by herself. You get me? That's why there was this constant communication. Realistically,
what did your boy say after the 2 days?
So he goes that there was complaints already coming from the other floors of the water coming out real mildewy, really ugly, everything coming down. So when the police get there and do the whole inspection, they check everything else. Two things add up. They go check up on the top. They did find the thing, and this is where the series and people telling the story get it wrong. Okay. They do see tampering with a water tower. Okay. He says there was 100% tampering with a water tower. He's like, it wasn't fully closed. It wasn't anything like that. He said there was tampering with it. He goes, not a lot. He's like, maybe there was a 4-inch gap, and he thought that's what led to that. He said he didn't officially find it. His co-worker, the 40-year-old one, got a really nasty smell, and when he seen something in there, that's when he assumed the worst.
Yo, well, let me tell you, I did some research. You can also find this on the original episode, and I love this because now you're bringing her first-hand accounts of what they did. They were searching for it. They didn't see her there dead until somebody else had to come and check again on the tampered tower. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I did the fucking spec check on these water towers back then in the day, and I'm not sure you still have it today. But that water tank has a 70-pound lid over a 15-deep water tower. For a 70, she's a 90-pound Asian girl that didn't only fucking get her clothes off, you can move it off, get in there, and then she had to close it enough to it was only a 4-inch gap. A 4-inch gap, bro. I mean, dog, the 4-inch gap, you don't, I'm not a cat. You have to be a cat woman to jump into a 4-inch gap, all right? So that means she tried to move it back into place while being in 15-deep water. What the fuck, dude? It's almost impossible, dog. It's impossible.
He was really honest about it. That rattled him and his co-worker's brain for a really long time. Ooh, he said to open it, it's not a big deal. It slides off pretty easily. He's like, he doesn't see that part being such a big thing. Okay. But to actually close it from the inside is where he got the whole thing. How were they able to move it? It didn't feel like a one person type of job. He said originally, it did not feel like a one-person type of job. He didn't know about the things later, about what had happened to the female, her anal being prolapsed and so forth. And they had to go through various interviews conducted by the LAPD. And he also mentioned another government. Somebody else came in. He didn't tell me who it was. It could have been FBI, NSA, CIA, FBI. Or whatever. Whoever the fuck it might have been. But he couldn't officially, he didn't remember. I'm going to be honest. Yeah. He could have mentioned it because he just didn't remember who it was. And I tell him, so what happened? He's like, they kept on asking us the same questions over and over again. Step-by-step detailed accounts of what was happening. Videos, which is that video that they showed up.
Which looks like tampered with.
Where are you visible? He goes, I was invisible. So the way it's set up is you have 2 stairs on each side that run through the whole entire building. So imagine on each floor, you have 2 steps like this. When he saw her, he goes, oh, I just looked and it closed up again. And then it opened and then it closed up and then it stayed closed. That was the last thing he remembers overall from her, ever seeing her again. And he says it went quiet from her, but he still gets all these calls. So it's not like he could constantly, hey, Rick, because I am one thing. She was never placed on any type of alert on her, which they're not paid for. They're definitely not paid for.
And then there was no broken windows to the fire escape. There was no fucking alarm set off to the fire doors. And you needed a special key to even open the fire escape doors, right?
Exactly. To get to the top. Exactly. Yeah. So after everything's said and done, he's in this blasphemy of all his co-workers, the cleaning ladies and everything, saying how she was weird, but it wasn't their normal weird. He's seen people jump off the building. He's seen people get into life vines, shoot each other. He's found dead bodies opening the door, causing a stench. So he's seen just about anything and everything coming out of that place.
Word.
He goes, he literally said, on a scale of 1 through 10 to crazy of her doing something, she was a low 4. Besides her normal craziness, he's like, and that's everybody.
That's on a fucking massive scale of all the people that he sees in and out. And then a couple more specs that I don't want to skip over. That's really important. There was no water in her lungs, which means she had to be murdered or dead before she even hit the water. All right, they scanned her for party drugs, but they didn't check her for pharmaceutical drugs, or they did a withdrawal on her. They didn't even give her a fucking rape kit. They only checked for party drugs, cocaine, LSD, heroin, weed. You know what I'm saying? Meth. Yes. And then the files, her fucking files were sealed off where not even her family were able to obtain them. Stay till this fucking day. And then the big sucker party. Her asshole was prolapsed, dog. Pink sock all day, homie.
Yes.
Talk about Diddy.
110%. He didn't know anything about that. I ended up just touching base on him on what other stuff he knew. He said that ever since that day, he doesn't say exactly the 5th floor. He doesn't say any of the rooms that he's been. But ever since that day, he does get numerous accounts of a small petite woman every once in a while running. Well, not running around, but around there that nobody ever really knows. He goes, but it can be a tenant. He really does say that. He's like, we get different tenants all the fucking time. It could be just about anybody. But going back to the main point of it is he did not expect any of this to come out of that little girl. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly how he quoted her. He's like, there was nothing special or weird about her more than what
enough to say that this is for sure something that's going to trigger in a massive event and investigation. Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. He said things did get a lot more stricter ever since then. And I'm like, in what sense? And he goes, look, he's like, I've seen people start fights and start throwing each other stuff from it. I've seen people jump off the buildings. He's like, they break the windows. And they got the tamper resistance. I don't know how long ago they were installed, but he got those tamper ones that'll just keep on shattering, but not actually break off.
Yeah, kind of like a car.
Eventually they will break. He goes, eventually they will break, but it takes a lot out of somebody for you to actually be able to break them. But in his very own words, he says, and I quote, just to touch base on how famous this place is, he got more of a creepy vibe of the SGV killer, which is Ramirez, of him, because he got to meet him too, than anything from her. He really thought he just wasn't all there. He's like, and that's about all that I know. He's like, yeah, you have people that might tell you all these speculations, everything that's going on. He's like, but if I have to be 100% honest with you, he goes, nothing about it seemed unusual. Business as usual, show up, do your work.
That's crazy. And that's what makes people kind of like look the other way and then allows Netflix come over here and fluff up the specials to make money off of it. On closing statements here, because I know we're running out of time. Yo, I want to debunk the pink sock. Why? Why? I know why. Do you know the amount of pressure it takes for that fucking water tower to stay full? So that means that when you open the faucet, it only takes up 3 to 4 fucking people to open the faucet at the same time. That water pressure will suck your body all the way down where your ass sits on that fucking, that little fucking ring. And then your whole entire shit gets sucked out of your ass like a fucking straw, baby. Yeah. Now, you know what really trips me the fuck out? Her name is Alyssa Lam. The day after she died, there was a huge hepatitis B outbreak in Skid Row. And do you know what the hepatitis B shot was called?
No.
Lam Elisa. Hashtag look it up. Trip the fuck out, dog. Trip the fuck out. You Google it. Her name is the other way around. Look, dog. Look it up. There's no coincidences in fucking conspiracy theories. Now, this episode is brought to you by Los Cuñados Bullies. And get your rhino and gorilla today. I don't know what the fuck that means, but I guess that people are going. Big Tag. Yes, I don't know what they're going to find you.
You guys know the deal. Catch at EKNAT626 Los Cuñados Bully. Los underscore Cuñados underscore Bully. Woo! Go check us out. Thank you for the follow. But don't forget to show love to the Paranoid Radio page. Paranoid Radio. No D, because we got the D for you. Till the next time.
Damn.
Paranoid Radio.